Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. When you're in the market for a new Ford, stop by Future Ford for a great selection of new and used vehicles.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, farmers needing some extra cash for this spring can access it from the Canadian Canola Growers Association. Director of Finance will, with them, Dave Gallant, will talk about the interest-free limit for cash advances being increased by $100,000 for this year. There's concern that a spat this week between Canada and China that has seen each country expel a diplomat could have economic consequences for Canadian agriculture. Todd Lewis of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture will give us his thoughts on that. And week two of the spring edition of GX94 Supper in the Field took place last night. We went to the farm of Alf and Les Cleggett, just east of Balcarres, and we'll hear from them about how their farm operations going so far this spring. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bio-meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, we have some thin cloud here today, but otherwise it's a pretty nice day here.
Yeah, so we're watching a lot of rainfall to our south and west, but nice distance from us to that, and hardly on a direct course to get to us. So I'm not overly concerned that we're going to get much of that moisture in. It is going to sort of build northward, but we're seeing making its way not even quite to Regina right now. It's almost some of the fringe stuff is almost there, but a lot of it is sitting right along the Trans-Canada. And as it, the northern edge of that, I should say, and as it sort of wobbles a bit, we're going to see some of that cloud cover taking over. And later in the night, we may get a few of those little, I'm trying to think of the right word to describe it, northward reaches of showers. There's got to be a better way to describe it, but all the stuff sits south, and a few of these will basically shoot northward briefly, bringing us a couple of spotty showers. And then during the day tomorrow, we'll be a little bit closer to it, although the bulk of the showers are looking like that are more significant. And again, we're on the fringes of this thing. We're talking a couple of millimeters. The best chance for that stuff is early in the day tomorrow through about midday. And then some lighter spotty showers. The farther south you get, the better the showers, the better the chance of seeing showers. In fact, you get along the border, and there could be some fairly heavy rainfall. But for us, it's really a non-event. Temperatures today, under the sunshine, warming into the low 20s. Very pleasant day, especially with a light wind. Again, tonight that cloud cover comes in. Spotty showers possible toward morning. Minimal as far as measurable amounts go. Temperature near 10. And for tomorrow, the cloud cover is in place. There will be some thinner spots, too, in the overcast. We're not only on the northern fringe of the rain, we're really on the northern fringe of the cloud cover. 19 is the high tomorrow. Any showers that hang on into the evening, and by that point we're really stretching, will clear out. We'll drop back to 7 with a mostly sunny sky on Saturday, the high is 20. Even though we don't get into a big change in the system, the moisture itself hangs just to the south. The low pressure by Saturday afternoon should almost be into Iowa. We shouldn't be talking about it once it gets to Iowa. The reason I'm still mentioning it is that the high pressure, which is building in, and it's going to almost be right overhead, is going to produce a very significant drop-off in the temperatures, because this is a cooler air mass, but it's certainly not cold, and the ridge is coming in behind it. So we have three things in play. One is this high, which is blocking both the ridge and trying to shift that moisture out, a very sharp cutoff line for showers. They'll likely still be sitting over southernmost Manitoba on Saturday when we see a nice day, but it's going to keep us from getting into the warm air is the end of that 20 degrees at the high. We're at or above normal, but we're just not into the true warm air. We get there by Monday, 24 on Sunday, 27 on Monday, with a mostly sunny sky both days.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour: the Paw, Swan River, both at 23 degrees, Dauphin and Brandon, 22, Show Lake Russell, 21, Roblin, 22. Regina and Wynyard Wadena Kelvington are at 20, Saskatoon, Broadview Mooseman, Indian Head, 21, Hudson Bay, 23. The Yorkton-Melville region has a partly sunny sky, a northeast wind at 4 kilometers an hour. 31% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 22 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 21 degrees and dropped to a low of 4 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 17 degrees. The normal low is 4 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 5:05 this morning, and it will set at 8:28 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hot spot was Deerwood at 27 degrees. The cold spot was Grand Rapids at 0. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Canada's hotspot. Nipawin got up to 29 degrees. Saskatchewan's cold spot yesterday was a tie between Prince Albert and Spiritwood. They both dropped down to 0.
Beef and Forage Report.
A large portion of Alberta has received less than 40% of normal precipitation, and pastures are in poor condition. Jerry Clausen, the president and founder of Resilient Capital, says the smoky conditions in central Alberta may have set a negative tone for the market last week. Approximately 45% of the Canadian calves born are in Alberta. He says this is a serious blow to the industry and may result in an abnormal marketing schedule for a large portion of feeder cattle. And that's the Beef and Forage Report. It's time now for the AgriView portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
Future Ford has been serving the Melville area for over 30 years. They focus on the future. Their staff are ready for what's to come. Ford Tech is changing all the time with new vehicle technology like EV, self-driving, and more. Get ready to drive into the future. Why? Because the future is Future Ford.
EX94, AgriView.
A Chinese ban on Canadian beef that industry officials expected would be short-lived remains in place 17 months later. Dennis Laycraft of the Canadian Cattle Association says he doesn't know why China continues to block imports from Canadian beef processing plants. China imposed restrictions on Canadian beef after a case of atypical BSE was found in an Alberta cow in December of 2021. But unlike classic BSE, also known as mad cow disease, atypical BSE poses no health risk to people and is not transmissible. Laycraft says most countries don't impose trade restrictions at all for these cases, and that China has lifted restrictions against other countries with similar cases in much shorter time frames. In 2021, before the market restrictions were imposed, China was Canada's third largest beef export market, importing $193 million worth of product. Maple Leaf Foods reported a loss in its first quarter compared with a profit a year ago, as it faced a difficult pork market, cost inflation, and higher startup expenses. The company says it lost $57.7 million, or 48 cents per share, for the quarter ended March 31st, compared with a profit of $13.7 million, or 11 cents per share, in the same quarter last year. Sales in the quarter totaled $1.17 billion, up from $1.13 billion in the first 3 months of 2022. The company says the increase came as sales in its meat protein group rose to $1.14 billion, compared with $1.09 billion the same quarter last year. Plant protein sales fell to $37.4 million, compared with $44.9 million a year earlier. Turkey's foreign minister believes the Ukraine Black Sea grain deal could be extended for at least two more months, as officials from the parties involved held the first day of talks yesterday on an extension in Istanbul. Russia has said it would not extend the pact beyond May 18th unless a list of demands is met to remove obstacles to its own grain and fertilizer exports. The minister hoped a positive result will be achieved in Istanbul, where talks were set to continue today. The UN and Turkey brokered the Black Sea Export Agreement last July to help tackle a global food crisis that has been worsened by Moscow's war in Ukraine. The United Nations said inspections resumed on Tuesday of outbound vessels under a deal allowing the safe Black Sea export of Ukraine grain. There were no inbound or outbound inspections of ships on Sunday or Monday. The ICE futures canola market saw some independent strength relative to other oil seeds during the week ended yesterday, as speculative positioning and the need to ration tight old crop supplies provided support. Canadian canola stocks as of March 31st were pegged at 5.95 million metric tons by Statistics Canada in a report released Tuesday. That was up from 5.16 million at the same time the previous year, but well below the five-year average of 8.76 million. Of the total, commercial stocks of 1.28 million metric tons were down by about 460,000 tons from the same point the previous year and below pre-report expectations. Canola crush margins are still relatively wide, but have lost about $20 to $30 per metric ton over the past week and are well off their highs near $300 per metric ton seen earlier in the year, as the strength in canola came at the same time as soy oil moved lower. A new federal-provincial funding agreement will see Nova Scotia's agricultural sector get $46.25 million over 5 years. The Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership will see a 25% increase in program funding for the agriculture and agri-food sector. The agreement focuses on building growth and competitiveness, helping businesses adapt to climate change, pursuing science, research, and innovation, and developing markets and trade for agricultural products. New programs under the agreement were developed in consultation with farmers and others in the agriculture sector. And be sure to listen to the latest GX on Agriculture podcast. It's brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's mainly cloudy and 22 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Farmers needing some extra cash for this spring can access it from the Canadian Canola Growers Association. It will be issuing cash advances through the Advance Payments Program, or APP. Director of Finance and APP Operations at the Canadian Canola Growers Association, Dave Gallant, says the interest-free limit for cash advances has increased by $100,000 for this year.
So before May the 8th, farmers had access to $250,000 interest-free. After May the 8th, that is now going to be $350,000 interest-free. And to put that into dollars and cents, a farmer with a $1 million advance at prime plus one at the bank is going to save roughly $4,000 to $6,000, depending on what they borrow at the bank from, using a cash advance under these new rules.
It's a timely announcement as seeding gets underway.
Exactly. I mean, we're seeing increased demand this year for the program, primarily because it's that time of year. Seeding costs are high and interest costs are high again this year.
He says there are no restrictions when applying for a cash advance.
That is correct. There are no restrictions on how the farmer uses the funds. Once they've applied, we'll deposit the money into their bank account, and then they choose it as they see fit in terms of how they may need to use the funds to make their farm successful.
Gallant explains the process to apply for new customers.
If a farmer wants to apply for a cash advance today on what they plan to grow, they should call us at 1-866-745-2256, and our dedicated contact center staff will walk them through the process in terms of what's required to complete the application. They'll need crop insurance information, as well as their land where the grain is being grown and the number of acres that they're growing, and then based on the calculation, we will fill out the application for them and email it to them, and they will then just have to complete some signature areas and maybe get some additional information from other organizations like their bank. If they're existing customers, they have a secure portal that they can apply on anytime at ccga.ca.
And one final detail about the program.
With respect to the program at CCGA, there's no admin fee. As well, farmers pay on the interest-bearing portion, which is now $650,000, prime minus 0.75%, so the lowest rates available to farmers under the cash advance program.
Farmers can also apply for a cash advance up to a maximum of $1 million. Gallant says they will be reaching out to existing customers to explain the changes and any actions that the customer may need to take. It's time now for the livestock market conditions and their presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 162.95 today. That's down 5. August live cattle closed at 160.80, down 37. August feeder cattle closed at 226.07, up 92. September feeder cattle closed at 229.30, also up 92. June lean hogs closed at 83.87, down 30. July lean hogs closed at 85.12, down 85. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton.
Good afternoon. This is the Yorkton Heartland Livestock Market Report for the week of May the 10th. Another huge run this week with 1650 in the sort, 325 cows and bulls, a total of 1975 for the day. Cows and bulls selling steady with last week. D1, D2 cows, 133 to 143, sales to 151, 152. D3 cows, 123 to 133. All thin cows with lumps and bumps selling anywhere from 85 to 95. Cows are averaging 134. From the Pelly area, 1,650-pound cows at 157. Good bulls, 134 to 144, sales to 160, 161. Bulls are averaging 146. From that good Melville area, 2,100-pound bull topped out at 167. On to the pre-sort sale, selling to a strong demand. 425-pound steers, 395. 500-pounders, 365. 575-pound tan steers at 360. 650-pound black steers at 338. My favorite pen, 710-pound black steers, 320. 800-pound tan steers, 298. 850-pound steers, 284. 950-pound steers, 247. On the heifer side, 425-pound heifers, 336. 500-pound red black exotic heifers, 328. 650-pound tan heifers, 306. 650s, 284. 710s at 268. 800-pound heifers, 250. 850-pound red black exotic heifers, 233. And 950-pound heifers at 234. Highlight of the morning, 44 black steers at 780 pounds topped out at 296. Had some replacement quality tan heifers, 850 pounds at 243. Next week will only be a one-day sort. This Friday, May the 12th, bred cow, bred heifer sale, also 65 cow-calf pairs expecting 120 head. Some top quality breds and pairs coming for this sale. Should be a good one. Sale time is 11 o'clock this Friday. This sale will also be on DLMS. And don't forget about your mom. Give her a call, Mother's Day on Sunday. That's it for this week at Heartland Yorkton. I'm Harvey Exner. Have a good day.
Back to GX on Agriculture. There's concern that a spat this week between Canada and China that has seen each country expel a diplomat could have economic consequences for Canadian agriculture. Todd Lewis of Grey, just south of Regina, is the second vice president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. He hopes the tensions will blow over.
Well, it's always a concern, Doug, but at the same time, the people of China need the food source as well. So it's, these diplomatic issues and things that happened. Certainly everybody remembers what happened with the canola embargo, back 3-4 years ago, and that certainly affected our canola price. But I think pork is another industry that's, possibly could be affected. But, we're hoping for the best, and the pathways are there already for, we sold lots of canola after the Chinese embargo, and, a lot of it did go into China, and so those pathways, could still be there, and I think it's important to remember, too, we lost some prices to start with, but we ended up with a pretty high canola price during some of that embargo as well. So it's all about supply and demand, and I think we're fortunate here in Canada. We have the product that the rest of the world wants, and if China's going to go this route again, hopefully it won't have as big an impact or be as big a surprise as it was the last time. And the markets always don't like the uncertainty, but at the same time, if they do choose that pathway, I think Canada's producers are pretty resilient, and we were able to get through it last time, and hopefully we'll get through it this time if it does occur without as much damage to our prices and being able to move our product.
He notes that African swine fever has flared up in China again, so they can't afford to ban Canadian pork products.
Yeah, I mean it's a huge population there that's hungry, and that's the reality that China faces, and there's a lot of moving parts in this puzzle, and as I say, I think Canada, we're fortunate that even if those markets are closed in some parts of the world, there's other parts of the world that are interested in our product, and it's never a good scenario. Everybody wants to do some free trading, but it doesn't always happen that way, and unfortunately, in the world we live in, there's lots of political destabilization right now with the war in Ukraine. That's affected some of our grain markets as well, and the wheat market and so on. So it's seems to be part of this period in history that we're in right now, that we're going to have these market disruptions. And as I say, at the same time, Canada has the product that the world wants. So hopefully we're going to get through this one just like we did the last time.
Lewis adds that Canada is doing a good job of diversifying its international markets so that we're not so reliant on China.
Well, I think, when you look at, a province like Saskatchewan, as a microcosm of agriculture in Canada, really Saskatchewan is a major supplier of pulse crops to India. They take a lot of our grain, and things like mustard oil and things like that as well. So, I mean, India is a huge emerging market, and all of the entire Indonesia area, Japan, these are all important customers, and the federal government has recently opened up trade offices in that area in Southeast Asia, and the government of Saskatchewan has off trade offices, open across the world. So I think between our governments and our crop commissions, and there's lots of good work being done, Canadian Canola Council, different grain groups, they are aggressive. The Cattlemen's Association, they all are focused on trade, and Canada is a trading nation, and agriculture is a big part of that trade.
He had these final thoughts on the subject.
I think I would say that really as this plays out, I think we're ready to as Canadian producers, we'll say the resiliency of Canadian producers. We have a pretty good track record of getting through these trade issues, and if China chooses to go this way, I think Canadian producers are aware that it may have a short-term effect, but really long-term, we have the product that everybody wants, and we're gonna move that product in the world market with or without China.
Todd Lewis is the second vice president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, He farms near Gray, just south of Regina.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. July canola closed at $7.24.10, down $10.60. November canola closed at $7.02.10, down $9.50. July Minneapolis wheat closed at $8.36.75, down 12.75 cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at $8.41.50, down 13.75 cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $6.27.25, down 14 cents. July corn closed at $5.82.25, down 11.75 cents. July soybeans closed at $14.05.50, that's up 1.5 cents. July oats closed at $3.33 per bushel, down 4.5 cents. And that's the commodities update. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. Week 2 of the spring edition of GX94's Supper in the Field took us to the farm of Alf and Les Claggett, just east of Balcarres last night. After supper, I spoke to the brothers about their farm. First of all, Les, we're in your yard today. Is this the yard that you grew up in?
Yeah, this is considered the home farm. Yeah, this is where Dad and Grandpa came, and this is where it started.
How long ago was that?
1910 or 11, something like that. Okay. So a while.
Okay. And so how much land do you guys farm now?
Probably approaching this spring, probably between 3,300 and 3,400 acres of cropland, and probably on pushing the 120 head of cattle, some purebred, some commercial.
Now, Alf, you said that you've often gone to agribition and that sort of thing, have you?
Yeah, we went years ago. We went for probably 25 years. The last year we went was 1995, and we had the national champion female there, and we didn't go back since. We just got so busy, and we wanted to up our herd, and it was so hard with both of us to go away showing cattle and just leaving mom at home, as our dad had passed away earlier. And so we thought if we own up our herd, we would just have more cattle and not do the show circuit. We went to Yorkton Bull Sale for quite a few years before we quit the purebred stuff.
So what are you seeding this year? What are your seeding intentions?
Well, right now we've got some durum in, some wheat in, just started our red lentils. We have some peas to get to yet, and some, of course, some canola, just like everybody else, and some barley, some silage ground, and maybe a few green oats.
And so you're keeping an eye on prices. Are you happy with prices right now?
So yeah, they seem to be holding their own. I mean, they've tailed off a little bit, just like everything else has. But the prices, if they stay where they are right now, I think it's still suitable. It's like, you know, it's minding your expenses, you can still make a pretty decent dollar at it, I think.
So when you the crops that you grow come fall, whereabouts do you haul all your stuff to usually?
Well, that's a good question. This is considered one of the main bin yards. We have bins, of course, at my brother's place, and then we use two other bin yard sets, other ones that we've got, some hopper bins and some aeration fans, and we just started another bin yard down here at my aunt's place where we put in some hopper bins last year with some air drying fans just to help in case it gets a tough harvest, right? But other than that, there should be, what, two or three bin yards, I guess, where the product would go.
And where do you sell your crops usually?
Most of the wheat probably, and the canola usually goes to the Cargill in town. We have been dealing with G3 in Melville for some of the durum and that, and wheat other years. The lentils and the peas and that usually get moved out on, you know, semi-trucks, B-trains to other buyers along the way for that market. And the barley and the oats are basically cattle feed, right?
And cattle, Alf, whereabouts you deal with for your cattle?
We go to Heartland in Yorkton. Harvey and Junior treat us really well there. I like dealing with them, and they've treated us good with our calves, and that seems where we go. And Les likes the grain farming. I like my cows. I just love seeing the newborns coming in the wintertime and I get tired riding in the tractor. I don't seem to get tired getting up at 2 a.m. to check the cows, but yeah. So that's why we both get along so good. He hates the cows, and I like the cows, and he likes the grain and that, so we both work together and get it done, yeah.
So are you pretty optimistic for this year?
Try to be. You know, there's lots of factors that can slide in there, of course, that can upset the apple cart, kind of speak, but you try and stay away from thinking that part of it, and just hopefully that everything hangs on, and you miss the hail line, and you miss everything else, and I mean, you have to stay optimistic or you don't stay in it, right?
Now, I know you had some, was there some issues today you were trying to seed today?
Well, yeah, we were trying to finish up some of the spring wheat, and we ended up with some fertilizer and some drill issues trying to, but we got it done, and we just got started on the red lentil, so hopefully it goes better tomorrow and then things keep going from there. But I think we should have it sorted out by now, I hope.
And obviously you had to shut down for supper tonight, but it was probably a good break for you.
It was nice to see some family and friends that we don't really get to see too much of them these days. It's too bad my wife had to work tonight, but that's how it goes. Everybody's got to work in different shifts and different times, so yeah, it was nice to have everybody here.
And you were pretty surprised when I phoned you that you'd won supper in the field.
I really was, because I've entered for quite a few years, and it's just, and my wife said she's entered too, and I thought no big deal, and so I always like to listen to where you've gone and the people that you interview. I just find it very interesting how different farmers around the area who win and what they're doing, and I find that very interesting. Now I'm the one that's telling them what I'm doing, so I enjoyed it, and thanks for the sponsors. It was great, and the chalet meal is never a disappointment. They catered my daughter's wedding last summer, and it was the highlight of the day almost. Yes.
That's Alf and Les Claggett from the Balcarres District. Our sponsors for GX94 Supper in the Field are Milligan Bio, Farm Credit Canada, Gowan Canada, Sask Milk, Jump.ca, LDC, Smith Steel, Minute Muffler and Brake, Yorkton Auction Center, Maple Ag and Outdoor, the Chalet Restaurant, and Razor Cellar at the Yorkton Hotel. The GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly to mainly sunny, winds northeast at 10 to 15, becoming east-southeast, and a high of 23 degrees. For tonight, mainly cloudy, with a 20% chance of showers towards morning, winds east-northeast at 10 and a low of 10. For tomorrow, mainly cloudy, with a 40% chance of afternoon showers, winds northeast at 10 to 20, a high of 19, an overnight low of 7. For Saturday, mainly sunny, winds east-northeast at 10 to 20, a high of 20. For Sunday, mainly sunny, a high of 24, and Monday, sunny, a high of 27. In the Paw and Swan River, it's 23 degrees. Dauphin, Brandon, and Roblin, 22. Shoal Lake Russell, 21. Regina and Wynyard Wadena Kelvington are at 20. Saskatoon, Broadview Mooseman, Indian Head, 21. Hudson Bay, 23. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly cloudy sky, a northeast wind at 4 kilometers an hour. 31% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 22 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX Yorkton, a Harvard Media radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.
The GX on Agriculture podcast has been brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. Future Ford is your automotive expert. From sales to service, they're the ones you can trust to get rolling again sooner.